This is Twit.
This is a story about a guy who he had this hardware tool. Okay. And the hardware tool was a place where he could store his cryptocurrency. So think of it as like a physical wallet for his digital coins. And he needed to gain access to it. And the device came with an app that you could then use to gain access to it. So he typed in the name of the device. And the app store showed the app, and it had, almost 5 stars. He downloaded it. He put in his credentials. And in less than a second, the Seattle Times reports 17.1 Bitcoin worth $600,000 at the time was gone because the app was a fake. And it was designed to trick people into thinking it was a legitimate app. The person who had this happen said, of course I'm angry at the thieves, but I also have anger toward Apple because I'm led to believe that, the App Store is this place that's supposed to be safe and vetted and that apps are reviewed before they're allowed into the store. And so I, typed it in. I didn't think I needed to do as much due diligence with an app that's in the App Store because of the kind of story around Apple's own App Store.
A trusted environment.
Yes, trusted environment. So, Renee, I want to start with you because you, I of course, produce MacBreak Weekly. And when we talked about scam apps in the past on the show, when you folks had, you had some really good points about it. I'm curious, here, there have been times where you get a banking app or something like that. And I always go to the bank's website and try to find the link on the website to get the banking app. But I don't think that everybody is thinking they need to do that much due diligence, right? I mean, there's a conversation around the App Store.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, my point has always been, if you want to infantilize your customers, you then take on the responsibility of driving your customers to the daycare center every day. And that applies for everything. If you don't let me repair my own stuff, you've got to make repair instantly, cheaply, and abundantly available to everyone. If you're going to have a sole app store and your argument is that it is more secure, it is more trusted, it is more safe, then you've got to make sure it is more trusted, more secure, and more safe for everybody. And one of the longest standing issues with the App Store has been, I think Gruber affectionately calls the Bunko apps and the lack of a Bunko squad. And every once in a while, Apple sends in the sheriff and they round everybody up. But just week after week, you look at Twitter and there is someone ripping off the Shortcuts app, which other developers get rejected for using an icon even remotely similar to. And there it is on a fake app. And they copy games and they have these ridiculous subscription things that try to trick you into pressing the button and then charge you 10 or 20 or whatever dollars a month. And now this, there are absolutely best practices. Personal responsibility is still a thing. I go to the website, I scan the QR code, I look at what's coming from the manufacturer and I make sure I get that. And I do that for email, I do that for web links, I do that for everything because I'm paranoid. And I would expect everyone to be paranoid if it was an open market. Like if you're going into a flea market, you're on guard. You're much more worried about being scammed, being pickpocketed, all of these things. But if you go into what is purported to be the highest end, most immaculate, curated, Beverly Hills snooty store in the world, you have an entirely different set of expectations. And then it becomes entirely incumbent upon Apple to live up to them. So I just get infuriated when I hear this stuff. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how I feel about it. And I think that sometimes that is the point that it's a certain lack of empathy that takes place in folks who are super steeped in technology like us. When I do hear someone, see this story and kind of go, oh, well, obviously they should have done it. And it is much easier for us to, to have that knowledge and to be aware of the fact that there are these different apps in the App Store that, that bad actors can still play in this space. But for many a person, you do think that, they typed in the name of the app and it was the result that showed that, this was the app. And it also, I think that there's a conversation to be had around the App Store advertisements and how sometimes when I type something in there, a whole different kind of app will pop up and it may or may not be a sort of scammy or reoccurring charge kind of thing. And I, I want to add another bit to this, which is a story talking, it was on 9to5 Mac, talking about how the App Store is rejecting apps that are using third-party SDKs that collect user data without consent. On its face, a very good thing. It basically is part of Apple's push towards more privacy and security and continuing to not let apps track you without your permission. But I'm curious what folks here think about if there's a certain focus that the App Store folks tend to take, and they, you know, they're going down this route now and they're doing things as far as to when they're getting new apps and reviewing them. Now they're paying attention to third-party SDKs to reject apps that are, you know, now that tracking is their main focus. But for as long as the App Store has existed, there have been these spam apps. And so I think from the outside, we definitely are going, how is this still possible? How are you, you know, I thought you reviewed every app. Do we know the true process that Apple uses to review apps? Is every app reviewed by a human being? Is that the case anymore? It's like,
but they get like 10 or 20 minutes
backed by a brick.
It goes through instruments first, which is the auto detecting thing that looks for things like malware or other concerns or flags blatant copyright. Like if you try to upload a Calvin and Hobbes app, you know, it flags like everything super blatant. And then they have a cadre of reviewers, but those reviewers have an enormous amount of apps and updates to go through. And so I forget what it was. It was an article reporting on it a couple of years ago. They get like 20 minutes with an app. And for me, I would say like how does some of the stuff get through? It's impossible to get this through, and I would say that about Google's YouTube screeners and Twitter's harassment screeners. There is just no amount. There's never seems to be a sufficient amount of money put on the things that cause incredible emotional or financial harm. For things like hacks and scams and security, those are a very small percentage of cases, but they get an enormous amount of attention because they can destroy platforms. But this kind of stuff is just as harmful, and it seems like it never gets as much resources, attention, or accountability put towards it.
Lisa, I heard attention a good sigh from you.
Well, attention is the resource. And what I have found particularly striking is that companies, tech companies, I mean, Renee, you just made me think about this. Tech companies seem to promise to automate the need away for attention, but what we've actually seen is that you can't. People are capable of pulling together unrelated items to create a necessary context in a way that you still have to teach a machine how to do in a really labor-intensive and time-intensive process. And as you asked the question, does anyone know how these apps get approved? And then Renee mentions they get 20 minutes max. And I thought, how do you effectively assess an app and look for everything that would send up warning signs when people are endlessly creative and they have time to work around the restrictions? There's just no way to do it. If this is a problem of human nature, which it is, see also people's willingness to be endlessly inventive in how they scam, then you do have to devote more human resources to it. And that's not happening. We don't see it happening in content moderation. We don't see it happening in app store screening. We don't see it happening in people able to use the resources of time and attention to go through and say, okay, not every user is me. Some users are going to look at Apple and think, I'm paying for a premium platform and a premium experience, therefore my risk is lower. Like testers get to the point where they're very smart about what they're testing, and that puts them a little bit out of touch with why they're testing to begin with, because you're not testing for users like you. You're testing for users who are very different from you. And that's a process that needs to be continually refreshed and reevaluated, which again takes time and attention, which again, historically, tech companies have been really resistant to.